This is The Pulse, stories about the people and places at the heart of health and science. I'm Maiken Scott. This story is from our episode, Slowing the Spread of COVID-19. You can find us wherever you get your podcasts. There are so many developments every moment now, and scientists are trying to keep up with everything. One issue to think about now is medical quarantine. It's happening to a lot of people who have tested positive for the virus. And while it helps keep everybody safe, it can be traumatic for patients. Reporter Alan Yu looks at this experience and how it could be less painful.
Writer Michelle Landhirsch has been thinking about all the people being quarantined right now, because she's been through something similar, though under different circumstances. When she was 25, she had thyroid cancer. The treatment for this is to swallow a tablet of radioactive iodine.
You actually become radioactive. It's pretty wild and not fun. The day before it was to happen, I actually considered telling them, never mind, I don't want this part of the treatment, because the idea of being radioactive and knowing that I could endanger other people as well was really scary.
But she knew she had to do it. So Michelle went into a room with the radioactive warning logo. People came in wearing gowns and masks, and she swallowed the radioactive pill. And that's where the isolation started. For 3 days in a safe room with no windows in a hospital in Manhattan.
And so I was stuck in this room where I wasn't supposed to go near any other human beings. I had such a feeling of isolation and almost no intellectual stimulation and really very little communication with other people.
She could have visitors, in a way.
On the second day of my quarantine, my mother visited the hospital, but I saw just the tip of her nose in the doorway because they would not let her within something like 15 feet of me to protect her from what was in my body. I just heard her voice from far away. I saw her nose. I saw maybe like a tiny bit of her shoulder. It was really upsetting for my mom because, you know, she wanted to hug me and comfort me. I'm her kid. And the doctor said no.
Her mother asked, what if I'm a few feet away from Michelle for just a minute in the same room? The answer was still no.
And in some ways, honestly, that was worse than if someone I loved had not visited me.
Nurses and medical staff would take care of Michelle. They would wear devices to log how much radiation they were exposed to.
It felt like I was in this dystopian film or something, you know, where people around me were basically logging how much exposure they were getting to the bad thing that was inside my body, right? There was a moment where I happened to sneeze and one of the nurses happened to be in the room to bring me something and she definitely kind of scuttled away. I totally felt like a freak.
Michelle has been reflecting on her experience now that more people are being quarantined or put in isolation to stop the spread of the new coronavirus.
It is an extremely psychologically isolating thing to be physically isolated.
She says it would be ideal if people in quarantine or isolation could talk to a therapist or social worker, someone who understands that being cut off from the rest of the world is hard. There is not a lot of research on the psychological toll of being quarantined. One of the few studies came from the SARS outbreak in the early 2000s. Laura Hariluk is an intensive care doctor at Toronto Western Hospital and also teaches critical care medicine. She worked on the front lines during the entire SARS outbreak. Some of her friends and colleagues had to be quarantined. That got her and some of the doctors wondering what that does to someone.
One of the things that was most striking was the anxiety that people were experiencing and the confusion of messages that were happening at the time.
Laura and her co-authors found symptoms of PTSD and depression in about a third of the people they surveyed, with more symptoms the longer that someone is quarantined. As an ICU doctor herself, Laura had to wear full protective gear every day. The N95 masks, something akin to a hazmat suit, So she's also thought about how challenging it is for medical staff to care for isolated patients.
Patients can only see your eyes, and so that very human contact of forming a really strong therapeutic relationship is much more difficult when you can't see somebody's face. It's much more difficult to reassure somebody or to treat them, to have them understand that you understand their anxiety and provide what all of us would consider the best care that we can.
She says that above all else, what matters is that patients have a consistent source of reliable information and know who they can turn to for help.
People who are in quarantine aren't people that we're isolating off from society. They're people that we owe a duty to care for. And that duty needs to be spelled out loud and clear so that people do feel cared for and not abandoned.
Laura says quarantine and isolation are fraught measures to contain outbreaks. But there will be more emerging diseases, so she says we should think about how to do it well. One of the first people to be quarantined in the US during this coronavirus outbreak points to his experience as a good example. Yulin Yin lives in Minnesota, but he went to Wuhan to visit his family for Chinese New Year. The coronavirus outbreak was ongoing when he arrived, but back then, he and his family could still go out for meals in China.
We designated my sister, actually, as a person who touches everything. You know, for example, pushing the button in the elevator. She was wearing a pair of gloves the whole time. And I was carrying some hand cleaner. So whenever we touch anything, we would wash hands right away.
After several days, Yulin was evacuated back to the U.S. with all the other Americans. They were quarantined at a Marine base in San Diego. For 14 days, he stayed in a suite, like a hotel room, with a living room, coffee maker, bedroom, shower. Staff would check his temperature regularly. He'd have breakfast, lunch. The CDC and the U.S. Public Health Service would be there every afternoon to hold a town hall meeting and answer all their questions.
CDC really did a really good job, just calm us down, to assure us it is okay, to just, you know, try to relax, have a good stay.
Since they didn't have symptoms and were monitored regularly, they were allowed to mingle, and some even made friends with each other.
We asked for a soccer ball, so we would be kicking the soccer ball, and then some people would be dancing in the courtyard. And actually later we have a lady who teaches kind of modeling. So she was actually teaching many of us just how to walk the runway.
And yes, Yulin did learn the runway walk. He says the internet there was actually faster than what he had back home in Minnesota. He is very grateful for the staff, contractors, and people who worked hard to keep them comfortable. At the end of 2 weeks, he got a certificate showing that he had been quarantined, did not have the virus, and was safe to go back to society.
When we were leaving, it's more like a graduation because we made so many friends. I think it's one of the best things that can happen in a very unusual situation.
That story was reported by Alan Yu.